KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. You're walking down the street. In fact, maybe you're listening to the radio walking down the street right now. And maybe someone up ahead has their hand out. They're asking for money. What are you going to do? You're going to reach into your pocket or stare straight ahead?
When I encounter a panhandler, I try to not make eye contact, but I also try to be polite. And mostly I say I don't give money on the street. I give money at the office, I donate to charities, and I don't give money on the street.
I am one of those people that actually does like to give money to the panhandlers, and frankly, I don't really care what they do with it. I don't try to be judgmental on that. But there are times when I'm going to the city. We don't live in the city, but I will take $15 or $20 and get change and just go hand it out because, doggone it, we've been pretty fortunate in our time, and others aren't.
When I am asked for money on the street, I don't usually have any, but I always look at them and smile, and that seems to be enough.
What do you do when you're asked for money on the street? It's a common urban experience. I'm at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's toll-free, 800-289-5869, or write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. That decision has a lot to do with how you view street people, how you view that person in their personal appearance. It has to do perhaps with your ideas about charity. It has to do with your ideas about helping. Tell me what you do when you encounter a panhandler. I know when I walk down the Ave right in front of our studios in the University District, it's rare that I don't see a couple of outstretched hands. If you take an exit off 99 or an interstate highway ramp, they're rarely without people holding cardboard signs that could say homeless and hungry. I have two small children and no money. Kindness is karma. Or sometimes need money for beer. So what do you do? 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW, 800-289-5869. Or write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. Let's go to Dave, who's giving us a call today. Dave, what do you do?
I saw a guy in Renton who had a sign out that said that asked for a nickel. So, and I rolled down the window and gave him a couple of bucks. But it depends on the sign, I guess.
Why did that sign get you to roll down your window and give him money?
It made me laugh.
Ah, it amused you.
He was being honest about, you know, he wasn't asking for $2 or $3 with all the reasons behind it.
That, yeah.
You know, which I see too often, and you know, I'm not insensitive to, but
right.
This one made me laugh, made me take notice.
Hey, Dave, thanks for calling.
Yeah, can I give you another one real quick?
Sure.
Okay, my brother tells this story, and this is, you know, people standing on the street asking for money from people, you know, other pedestrians, and he had a guy ask him for $20 for food per month, and he looked at him and said, "You're serious, aren't you?" He said, "Yeah, I can feed, you know, a family for $20, and he said, "Well, I can't do that, but I give you a couple of bucks." So I guess that goes the other way, too. You know, somebody knowing, and I'm sure he knew that there was no way my brother was going to give him $20, but it got him to give him a couple of bucks.
Yeah. It's all about the ask.
Yeah, I think it is.
Hey, Dave, thanks a lot for calling. Is it the sign? Is it the way that you are approached that makes you decide one way or the other? Or maybe you always give, or maybe you never give. We're talking today about what you do when you encounter panhandlers, 206-543-5869. A lot of action on Facebook about this. Dave wrote on our page, "I'm poor. I live paycheck to paycheck and rarely have anything to spare. When I do, I do. But being poor, I have a good amount of empathy. If I woke up tomorrow with schizophrenia, I'm aware that it doesn't work like that. I would have no recourse available for help, no insurance to help pay for meds. The sliding scale only goes so far. I couldn't work. It would not take long before I was out on the street asking for a handout." So Dick empathizes with people on the street. He sees himself perhaps in that situation. Jamie writes, "I smile at them and wish them a great day if I'm in a hurry. If I have something like an apple or a satsuma in my pocket, I give it to them. No money ever. If I have some free time, I'll ask them if they've eaten. If not, I will sometimes allow them to buy some food. And with that, I always ask if they have any food allergies." So he'll buy them food. He says if they have a dog, he'll get some dog food also. So Jamie never gives people money, but will go out of his way to go buy them food. 206-543-5869. Claudia's listening to us today in West Seattle. Claudia, good afternoon. Claudia, are you there?
Yes, I am.
So do you see many panhandlers in West Seattle?
I do, actually. There's a growing number of them.
So what do you do when you encounter them?
I usually don't acknowledge them, but this last Christmas Eve, I felt guilty about that. And this one lady was holding up the sign, so I had come out of a coffee shop, and I had a little packet of crackers left that were still in the baggie, and I waved them at her and said, "You want crackers?" And she smiled and said, "Yes." So I gave them to her.
Did that make you think, more likely to give more in the future?
Perhaps, but I don't like giving money. I don't know what they're going to do with it, and I don't trust what they're going to do with it, so I'd rather give them food.
What made you change? Was it just spontaneous when you saw her standing there, or had you thought about that?
It was a woman probably in her 30s, and she looked like a nice person with just coming on to hard luck. And she had a backpack and short curly hair and glasses, and when she smiled, she had braces. And I thought, well, if she could afford braces, what's she doing here? But maybe she just recently fell on hard times.
There was something about the way she looked that made you decide to give her something.
I could identify with maybe a young college student or something like that. Yeah.
Claudia, thanks a lot for your phone call. So Claudia also talking about identifying with that person in some way or another, the way that Dick could relate to a person thinking that that could be him at some time in the future, and that made him give. Do you give? If you give, what do you give? Do you even make eye contact? Do you even say anything? Anita wrote to us, "Most of the time, I'll at least smile at them. The reason I don't give them anything is that most are professional panhandlers. The exception is Gary, who frequents a corner near Whole Foods. He's blind and really sweet, so I will buy something for him and or his dog while at the store and then give it to him or get a gift card for him." How do you react when you encounter panhandlers on the street? We've got Jane on the line, and she's calling us today from Ballard. What do you do, Jane?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I feel it's really important to trust your instincts, and I've taught my son since he's little to, you know, how do you feel with this person, and if it feels right, I usually give food. I also don't give money, although one woman at the West Seattle Costco, I was a recent single mom with my little baby, and it felt right to give her money because she was the only person that came up to me. I had a flat tire. She helped me change it, and I gave her $20, and she was, like, hit the roof. She was so happy, and that felt really good. So,
wow. She wasn't asking for money. She was helping you out.
Yeah, and she wasn't asking for anything,
yeah.
And she was the only one that came to help.
How did you know she was she panhandling? Did you walk by her and saw that she was panhandling before you found out you had a flat tire and she came to help you?
At the West Seattle Costco, there's usually folks that hang out kind of by, or there used to be. It's been a while since this happened, but that would hang out by the entrance and exit to the area, and
so did you,
from there.
Did you notice her? Did you walk by her before she approached you to help you with your flat tire?
I think I saw her when I drove in.
Huh.
And, you know, again, trusting your instincts. I mean, if you look people in the eye and their mouth's smiling and their eyes aren't, that's not usually a good sign. She just felt like a really good person who wanted to help. And I think a lot of people are really good people that are unfortunately on the street.
Yes.
And you got to trust your instincts to what feels right.
Jane, thanks a lot for calling and telling us. Jane trusts her instincts, tells her kids to trust their instincts. So is it that spontaneous? Do you see someone and make an instantaneous judgment by looking into their eyes or their demeanor or what it is that they say and decide, yes, I'm going to take money out of my pocket and give that money to them? Or do you never give money? Do you have to try to do something else? We're talking today about that very common thing that happens in cities. Your approach to give money, what do you do? Nicole wrote, refer them to the nearest food bank, DSH office, Mission Community Dinner. And when they say they're hungry, they are lying, writes Nicole. There is an excess of free food in Seattle. Don't support the crack meth problem. So clearly she tries to help them get to food but doesn't believe them if they say they don't have any food. 206-543-5869. What happens when someone approaches you on the street? Do you just look right past them? Do you just keep walking? Do you stop sometimes? Do you stop all the time? How do you make that decision? Victor's listening to us today in Everett. Victor, how do you decide?
I have actually tried to buy the sign off of the person to determine how much they're actually making per day with that sign. And I've offered upwards of $100 to somebody to buy their sign off of them, and they've said no.
Really?
Yeah.
And what does that? What did that tell you, that you would give them $100 for what I assume was just a handwritten cardboard sign, and they said no? What did that tell you?
It's the difference between people who know that they can make a living by just asking for money. They're not people who are trying in any way to make a difference, or the fact that they're not going to be there the next day. It all started with asking somebody, what can I do to help you not be on this corner again next week? And it came down to the fact that there are those people who know they can make $500 a week just holding a sign sitting on a corner. Therefore, they're not motivated to use that ability to talk to people to go get a job.
I would think that with a sign that you're offering $100 for, they could quickly replace it with another and pocket the $100.
That's my point exactly. You would think that if that $50 really meant something to them, they would take it and simply go get another pen and piece of cardboard.
What's the most you ever paid for a sign, Victor?
I paid $40 was the most that I paid for a sign.
And when that person took the $40 and you handed them a sign, what did you do with it?
I have a collection of them in my garage.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. How many do you have?
I probably have 20 or 25, right around there. I've been doing this for probably 5 or 6 years, so I don't get a lot of them to sell me their signs. I'd say the majority of them won't sell their sign.
What's your initial offer?
$20.
Do you go up if they say no? Do you go 25, 30?
Yeah. The first person who took me up on it at $20. So I set it at $20.
And you go up to $100 for each person?
I will. Most of the time, by the time I get to $40 or $60, they walk away.
Really?
So I don't always get up to offering $100, but I have gotten up to offering $100, and they say no.
Do you think they think you're kidding them? Do you think they think you're not serious?
That could be a possibility, but by the expression on their face, I think that they are. It's a lot easier for somebody to give a dollar or two, and they know they can go to 10 cars and get a dollar or two a lot quicker than maybe the hassle of bargaining or the hassle of having to go and get and make another sign.
Hmm.
So I think that there, and that's what I'm, you know, I admire anybody who's willing to give their own money to help somebody else that they believe is struggling. That's honorable. For me personally, I'm looking for those individuals who are trying to get off of the street versus who are making a living on the street.
Victor, thank you so much for telling us about what you do. I really appreciate you sharing your story with us. So Victor offers people money for their cardboard sign, up to $100, he says, and he's got 100 of them in his garage. What do you do when you're approached by a panhandler, and what do you think about what Victor does? I think that's really interesting. Let's go to Lynn, who's listening to us today in the Madrona neighborhood. Lynn, how do you react?
My husband and I have a rule that when somebody approaches us and asks us for a donation, we're not allowed to judge. And so what we do is we give, $1 or $2 to the first person of the day.
And just the first person. The second person gets nothing.
That's right. Yeah, we each of us gives to our first person of the day. And the reason we don't want to judge is because, like, somebody might see drunks, for example, when really they could be at best. Or somebody might seem able-bodied, but really their disability could be invisible, like, you know, PTSD or something.
Right.
And so I just think it's ways everybody's trying to judge and say, well, that guy looked like he could get a job, or that guy looks drunk or something.
Yeah.
So your rule is just to,
So just you just give to the first person who approaches you or your husband. That's Lynn's idea from Regina. Lynn, thanks a lot for your phone call. And she doesn't like the idea of judging. She thinks you shouldn't spend time judging. You should just maybe have a rule like hers. Kelly wrote on our Facebook page, depends on the one asking. The only man I've given money to in many years was an elderly man, and there was something about him that made me feel like it was an important moment. Handing money doesn't solve problems. It's just a Band-Aid. And Kelly writes this saying, coming from a former homeless person in my youth. So Kelly, who was homeless, doesn't always give money. Maybe you've been at the other end of this proposition. You've been the person asking for money, and now you're someone walking by people who are asking for money. What do you do, and how does your experience influence what it is that you do? David's listening to us today in Kirkland. David, good afternoon.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to make, a point that, when I'm out traveling somewhere outside the Seattle area and I really see someone, I guess it's a first-time panhandler or someone that's clearly disabled, I'll definitely, give them what I can. The only issue I have is, here in the east side, there's a few intersections where it's the same people every day, and I've seen them for years, and I don't give anything to them. Unless it was a food that I had, I'd give to them. Because I know that they're clearly, they just kind of abusing the system in that respect.
How do you know that, David?
Oh, because I go by this area all the time. And you never forget a face. Same people that are there, they just usually will change from one side to the other side intersection, but same people.
Right.
So I know what they look like.
I guess my point is you know they're getting by panhandling because they're there year after year, but why does that make them less deserving in your mind than someone who is new to you?
Well, I don't know. I guess because I see them all the time. If I was somewhere else and I someone that was really clearly disabled, I'd be more willing to give something to them, or if I was out of town and I didn't know, I'd never seen that person, I would give them the benefit of the doubt that maybe they genuinely didn't need that money for something. So,
yeah.
I don't know, it's just a preference that I have in terms of helping. And there have been times that sometimes I'll still give them, it depends if it was pouring, raining or something like that, really cold, I would just give them something. But it just bothers me when the same people are there, just like I said, year after year.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for your phone call, David. Rebecca wrote, I give money to people, unopened food and or socks or both. The gift of clean socks has been greeted with astonishment and thanks. Today, we're taking wool sweaters, hats, gloves, and boots over to Nicholsville, which is that camp for homeless people. Our adult kids left lots at home, so we've laundered and mended them all and packed them up, and off they go. Renita has a different approach. She writes, I try to ask them first for money. No, seriously, sends a message. Lisa writes, what message does asking first send? Lisa says, it seems kind of like mocking or judging to me. Benjamin writes, I'm poor, but I always share what I can. There's no reason to have more than I need, while others have less than they need. That's why I carry very little cash, though, because I always give it away. And finally, Dave writes, most panhandlers I see on my commute and walks usually have an open backpack where one can see bottles of wild turkey, bananas, sandwiches, and a decent cell phone. I used to offer able-bodied fellows a landscaping job. I was told to F myself. I volunteer to help at-risk youth learn computer skills instead. How do you react when you're approached by a panhandler? The conversation continues at our Facebook page, KUOW's The Conversation. Go read the comments and add one of your own. I'm Ross Reynolds.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.